Welcome to this week's episode of Mountain Hawk Talk. I'm your host, Jenna Odell, a senior journalism major on the women's rowing team. And joining me today are freshman Reese Hannon, sophomores Bella Scanapico, and Stefania Fadoon. Well, welcome to the show and thanks for coming on. So just to get us right to the questions, but why Lehigh? What was your reason for coming here?
I can start us off.
Yeah.
I was definitely looking for a more academic school when going for sports. And so knowing that Lehigh is a very good academic school, so that's what stood out to me. And then I would say the one thing that really stood out was when I got onto campus, I instantly fell in love with it.
Like,
I knew that's where I wanted to be. I definitely wanted more like old architecture style. And when I got here, I was like, yep.
That's the one. It's like it gives like campus.
Yes.
Like it gives like academia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very much the same. I was looking for a school with engineering that also had golf, and there aren't that many that have women's golf teams.
Yeah.
And yeah, very similar. As soon as I got on campus, I was like, this feels like home. I know this will feel very comfortable. And I already knew Bella was on the team, so she helped convince me a little bit.
Just a bit.
Well, Reese, that was pretty recent for you.
Like,
Oh, baby.
I'd have to probably say the same. I wanted somewhere that, like, I knew as soon as I got here that it was home. I needed the homey feel because, like, going to college is, like, it's a little scary.
It is
so, like, you want somewhere where you know you'll be comfortable, and that's exactly what this place gave.
A little daunting, but with Lehigh, it was a little more comfy and cozy.
Mm-hmm.
It does give, like, cozy in the winter, too. Like, I was thinking about it, like, even just walking around, like, today in the past couple days with how nice it's been, I was like, wow, like, even in the winter, like, I wasn't, like, ew. This place is, like, scary. Like, my sister went to Ithaca College and, like, love it there. But in the winter, it was, like, it was pretty ugly,
well,
to be honest.
It snows like a foot.
It snows like a foot. And all the buildings are, like, gray and, like, modern. And I was, like, not giving. But here it was very, like, even in the winter, it was, like, oh, it's, like, it's giving like Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Like I was I'm in here.
Linderman, like, especially.
Yes.
Harry Potter vibe.
Very much so. And so how did you guys discover golf? Because I feel like especially for women, like it's not like a super women, like it's a male dominated sport. So how did you guys kind of get into golf?
All right, I'll start with this one. So my dad, when I was younger, used to travel a lot for work, and we wanted something that him and I could like do together in like our free time on the weekends. So my mom for Father's Day bought us like father-daughter golf lessons.
That's awesome.
So we started doing it, and then like one day he was like, oh, I can't go, and he was like, just take my lesson, like do it. And the instructor's like, she needs to keep playing. She has it. Like, make sure she doesn't stop playing. So that was my discovery of golf.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like a crazy story.
Yeah. I was a huge like other sports player. Like soccer and running like used to be my thing. But
yeah.
I guess golf won.
Golf won.
Golf won.
For me, I played basketball, soccer, lacrosse, like all growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much up until COVID happened, and I was like around golf because my parents both played, but I never actually like really played myself. And then COVID happened and my parents were going to the golf course, and that was the only place that was open. I was like, I need to get out of the house.
So
I really picked it up then, ended up falling in love with it, practiced and played, had a very short condensed like competitive career, and then ended up here. So
it's
not been that long, but
yeah, for me, it was completely random. My dad had played, but not competitively, and there happened to be this little junior clinic by our house. I was probably 5 or 6, and they were like, all right, indoor, foam golf balls, let's go. So we went. I was just whacking the ball. It was so much fun, and the guy was like, you need to keep playing. And my dad's like, what, I dropped my wallet? Like, what was it? Like, like, no, like, this girl's got it. Like, keep going. And so ever since then, did it. I also played lacrosse and swam all throughout, and golf ended up winning because I loved it so much.
Oh, I work at a country club over the summer, and just, like, some of the little girls that come and play, and, like, they whack that ball. And I'm like, as you should. Like, as you should. And it's, like, just the ratio to, like, guys to girls playing at the country club. I'm like, that's so disappointing. Like, I want to play golf, like, please, like, let me in. But I just, like, want to see more, like, women playing golf. And it's, like, so refreshing to, like, hear those types of stories. Yeah. And so what was the moment you realized that you wanted to play at the collegiate level? Reese, if you want to kick us off, because it was pretty recent. And, I mean, you kind of talked about that condensed career.
It's true. Geez, I don't really know. My high school basketball coach was also, like, the golf coach at my school because we weren't, like, a super big golf team. And he was, at the end of our basketball season, he was like, oh, I saw you signed up for golf. Like, that's great. You have clubs. I was like, yeah, I got clubs.
Yeah, I got clubs.
And then the first day he saw me swing, he was like, this is your main sport now. Like, oh, I don't care how long you've been playing basketball. This is your main sport. I was like, okay. So kind of then I was like, okay, maybe I have a chance. And I was very thankful to have so much support around me and so many people who are helping me and, like, boosting my confidence. Like, you got a good swing. You can play at the next level. So then I started competing, and I really loved the competitive side of it. And so at first, like, my junior year, I was only looking at D3 schools because I was not good enough. And then I was able to get better and start looking at D1, and then it just kind of all worked out.
Yeah, and here you are.
Yes.
I can go next, yeah. Steph. I would say it was, like, freshman or sophomore year in high school is kind of when I decided, and it was because where I, like, grew up playing golf, there was a lot of other junior golfers, but there was also a couple of girls that were a little bit older than me, so they were already established in their college careers playing golf. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of on the fence of, like, do I really want to commit to all of that, or do I just want to play for fun? And I sat down and had lunch with one of them. She played at Seton Hall, and she sat me down, and she's like, this is the best decision you could ever make. Like, aww. Definitely do it. Like, you have a team built in. You get to travel everywhere. Like, it is the best experience you can have. So she really flipped my mindset and made me want to play golf in college.
Oh, that's really wholesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had something similar to Steph, but it was a family friend of mine. I really was going back and forth of whether or not I wanted to play in school because, as we mentioned before, like, doing engineering and golf, like, it's so hard to do. Most schools, like, most coaches, if you're looking at schools, are like, it's one or the other. Like, it's not both. So that, like, definitely dampened my mindset. And one of my family friends was like, so you're just going to throw away, like, your whole, like, career of golf and just, like, are you really going to be okay with, like, not play? Like, you're not going to be able to go to the range every day. Like, do that, like, escape, like, reality. And I was like, oh, well, I haven't really thought about it that way. And then I started looking at schools, and then I saw that there was opportunity to do both. And she was like, if you have the opportunity to do it, like, do it. Like, you're gonna have a once in a lifetime opportunity, and you should take it.
That's kind of the conversation that I had with my dad when I was thinking about wanting to go to, like, a more like a state school, or if I wanted to play collegiate sports. And he sat me down and he was like, all right, like, college sports is tough. Like, it's like kind of like what you were saying, in the sense of, like, it is one or the other, but, like, finding a balance between it, like, it's difficult. And he was like, do you want to go D1? And I was like, I need a minute to think on this. But eventually, like, I ended up saying, like, yes, I want. And it was right in the middle of COVID. And I was like, yes, I think I want to do this. And my dad ended up coaching me completely through COVID. He was a self-taught rower, coached me through COVID. I ended up getting my, I don't know how much you know about rowing, but I ended up getting my 2K time down, like, 10 seconds. And he was like, okay, like, see what happens. And I ended up getting, like, offers from coaches, and it was, like, literally just because my dad was like, do you want to do this? And it's, like, it's funny how, like, your mindset can kind of switch, and just, like, when you don't think about it in that way of, like, I can do this, like, in college at the Division I level. Like, this, I can be competitive with this. So that's pretty cool. And so how do you kind of with that, like, competitive mentality that we were talking about, how do you mentally prepare for a tournament? Who wants to kick us off?
Reese has got it.
Yeah, Reese.
I do meditation and yoga.
Love that.
We call her Yoga Reese.
Yeah. I love that.
It's one of the many names.
Something Reese.
I love that. Yogi. A little yogi over here.
Yeah. So I, with that, I really just try to stay present, and I mean, golf takes forever to play, especially 36 whole days. I mean, we're out there for 10 hours
yeah.
playing, and you're probably actually, like, thinking about what shot you're going to hit and actually hitting that shot for maybe 2 hours of that. So you wow. have to figure out how to stay focused for that other 8 hours while also mm-hmm. balancing speaking with your playing partners and trying to not get mad about what just happened and all this stuff. So I find that being able to, like, center myself and make sure I'm both physically and mentally present.
Yeah.
I listen to certain songs on the range normally, or like before I like we go out. Like normally we do, most of us do range, then we'll go to the putting green and chip before like we go out and play on tournament days. But I'll listen to something like more upbeat on the range to like get the swing speed up, get like the body awake, get it moving. But then when I like switch, I'll like go to the bathroom, splash water on my face, and then like regroup, and then I'll go to the putting green. And I'll listen to, like, country music or just, like, something like Billy Joel to, like, just, like, calm the soul a little bit. Because it's so, like, the first most nerve-wracking thing ever is stepping on the first tee box. And you don't want to start off with a bad shot. Right. So you want to be able to get yourself out there. So it's just, like, taking, like, the one moment to just, like, start, like, slow down the heart rate now. Yeah. Like, your body is awake, but, like, let's get back into center.
I love listening to Vienna on the bus.
Mm. Yeah, Vienna's a good one.
Vienna's good. I'll put you on to an artist that, like, is really good for, like, calming my nerves. I listen to Leve.
Ooh, okay.
She's beautiful. Her voice, it's very, like, jazzy. Okay. More, like, bossa nova style.
Oh.
I'll have to send you a song.
Yeah, I love recommendations.
Yes.
So send them my
very,
way.
Like, chill vibe. Like, so good. Love. Anyways.
Steph. Yeah, I mean, I'm honestly not that consistent, if I'm being honest. Like, you could catch me listening to the saddest song on the range or the most upbeat, and it'll be back-to-back. So really not consistent with it. Only thing I'd say that's consistent is I, like, really focus on my breath on the first tee. So I make breathing. Sure, you know, in and out, and make sure I'm just aware of that and just know I'm in the present moment and it's all good.
Breathing is, like, the most important thing for me in rowing. Like, especially on erg pieces, I am very, very aware of my breathing. And sometimes I go into panic mode if I can't get in control of my breath. And I've even had, like, long conversations with my coach about it, in a sense of, like, what can I do throughout the piece to, like, find and, like, reground and, like, reset my breathing just to, like, get through the piece, like, itself. So breathing is, I can, like, totally relate to that, on a sense of, like, it's so important. Like, it's like, everything. And I also noticed you all are so obnoxiously tan. I was, like, looking at your watch tan, your, like, strap tans. You're just, like, your arms
She's
are,
really
like...
really bronze.
You are bronze and golden, and it's annoying me. I'm, like, peeling on my shoulders right now.
Yeah. Being out there for so many hours does it to you.
I know.
It was, like, a funny conference. Our moms were actually discussing, like, our skirts, like, where they stop on us, like, it is a very white, yeah, you have it too, you understand. It's, like, a very vibrant white, like, streak.
Line.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like, you don't see it, like, when we're walking, but, like, when we take, like, go back to take a swing, it, like, pops out on the side, and they're like, gosh, those girls need some sun right
they're
there.
They're ghostly.
Yeah.
Yeah, me in a bathing suit is actually so horrible. It's horrible because I have the... like the racer back tan.
Those ones get you.
Yeah.
Horrible. Mm-hmm. Horrible. It's actually better this year, though, because the straps, we have, like, the strappy
units. Oh, nice. Yeah.
I was like, thank you, coach. But we have strappy, so it's, like, a little bit smaller. But before it was, like, so wide. Now it's, like, a little smaller. But it's horrible.
Yeah, we've got the farmer's tan line.
Yeah,
the sock tan line.
Is bad.
Yeah, sock is bad. Not pretty.
Also, the V you get from wearing a collared shirt.
Oh, not ideal. Not ideal.
Great farmer.
It's not great for my self-esteem when I go to the beach, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
No, you get, like, the awkward looks, and it's like the woo, and I'm like, yeah, okay, thank you.
Like, I don't need it. But I need to invest in, like, a self-tanner that will, like, just cover it, like,
literally.
But, like, just in those spots.
Just in those, but, like, has to even it out perfectly that it doesn't look bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta, if anyone finds it, let me know, because I've tried, and I haven't found it. And so what do you think, I mean, to preface, golf, like, it's not like you have, like, a crazy cheer crowd going, like, yeah, let's go. And do you actually?
At the end of the rounds.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Especially with the last person finishing.
Yeah, that last person.
I bet. Yeah. Yeah.
You can hear us, honestly, truly, through anywhere out throughout the golf course.
Good.
Us as a team.
Yeah, like, we are a loud bunch.
That's important.
Very important. That is important. Yeah.
But when you're, like, actually, like, at the tee and it's, like, you are getting ready to swing, it is silent.
Dead silent.
Right?
Yeah. You could hear a pin drop.
Yes. So what does that do for your game? Like, what is that, like, what is that feeling for you? Because it's different than a lot of sports. I feel like at the start for us, like, we have a gunshot and then it's just, like, chaos breaks loose. Like, that's just kind of what happens in the sport. But, and like in a lacrosse game, like, you have the stands, like, there isn't a moment of silence, you know? Right. Like, what does that moment of silence do for you?
I mean, for me personally, that it's nerve wracking. Yeah. But over time, you get used to it. First tee is always the worst. It's mm-hmm. dead silent. Everybody's eyes are on you, right? So you're just kind of having to find a way to regroup yourself. But honestly, eventually you get into a groove throughout the round where you don't even realize it's silent because you're with your thoughts. You're like, all right, I'm about to hit this shot. Oh, cool, bird's chirping over there, but that's cool. Let's hit this shot. And you just kind of get into a groove as the round goes on. But it's definitely like, if you haven't experienced it before, you'd be like, why is everybody so quiet? Yeah. Like, what's going on?
I feel like it's kind of like pretty though, like, with, like, you could hear the wind blowing mm-hmm. a little bit and the birds kind of chirping. Like, I feel like that's, like,
it's calming,
scenic,
yeah. Scenic aesthetic almost. Like, yeah
the
I get
lawnmower,
it.
Like,
oh, yeah,
the it's great. River. Yeah.
That's off putting. I feel like that could get to me.
You honestly forget about it after like 2 seconds. You're like, oh, yeah, there's the lawnmower.
You like block it out.
Yeah,
it's like, oh.
Yeah, I definitely think it's calming and nerve-wracking at the exact same time.
Yeah.
Going back to, like, the breathing, a lot of times for me, I'll, like, breathe out one last time before, like, I take my swing, and I'm like, okay, I can hear that. Like, that's my focusing point.
Oh, wow.
It's not great when it's supposed to be quiet and then it's not quiet, but I do think when we're playing competitively, there's, like, a different switch that goes off in your mind that almost makes it silent, even if it's not. Like, I've had my playing partners be like, that was really good focus, like, how did you not, like, get distracted by that bird? And I was like, a bird chirped? I was like, no way. Like,
yeah.
So there's just something that, like, it almost, your mind tricks you into, like, yeah, it's silent, even if it's not.
It shuts off. Yeah.
And then, yeah, you're just, like, there with your thoughts, which is great if you're in a good mood and you have a good swing thought. Not so great if you're not playing well, because then it can get almost really loud in your head.
Right.
But the voices.
The voices.
The voices, they're talking.
The voices are going off again. Give me a minute.
But yeah, I think it's a really cool part of the game, and it really shows the tradition of the game.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Sometimes I like playing with music a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna say, it's like, yes, it, like, actually, like, is the voices. Like, there's always, like, an approach. Like, if you're, as Reese said, like, if you're in a good mood and everything's going right, like, you're not worrying about, like, the five bunkers that are in front of you. Like,
right.
Your mind is just getting the ball to the green. But if you're not in a good spot, it's, like, there's, like, sirens going off in your head. Like,
right.
Bunker, bunker, bunker. And the odds you're going in that bunker, you probably are after that. So I think it's definitely everything that we were saying, like, the breathing, like, no matter where I am, like, bad shot, good shot, like, I always have to take, like, let's reset. I need to hear, like, the deep, like, the let go of the breath, because otherwise my body's just so tense. And then it will go south.
Yeah. I feel like, in a sense, rowing, too, like, I honestly don't remember. I mean, we have, like, our coxswain that sits at the front and, like, is kind of coaxing us through the race and is, like, motivating us and telling us what we need to do, where we are. And honestly, when I crossed the finish line, I don't remember a single thing that she said. Like, I'm like, did we win? I'm like, what happened? Are we good? Are we alive? How are we feeling? But, like, I do not remember a single thing. And it's just very interesting because you, from the get-go, like, if you aren't, like, breathing, if you aren't loose, if you are, like, tense, like, you just, each, like, the way that you start and the way that you set yourself up is going to predict the rest of the, like, race or the tournament or whatever, the what is it, the swing? Like, what is just, like,
your routine?
One?
Yeah. Like a shot?
Yeah, yeah. It's going to predict the rest of the shot. Like, you literally just, you have to set yourself up. So, you have to set yourself up for success. And so, you guys have a very young team. Like, what, you have one senior, two seniors?
Yes, yeah. Two seniors.
Yeah,
graduating.
Two seniors. And then, like,
three freshmen coming in.
Yeah, like, yeah. You have a really young team. So how do you think that this is going to do, like, how do you think that's going to set you guys up for success kind of in the coming seasons?
I got it. Yeah, I can start. I was actually just talking about this the other day, is that, like, our team spirit and mentality this season, granted, Steph and I have only been here for a year, but what we've also heard from everyone else that's been surrounded by our team a lot is that this is the best spirit, the, like, togetherness our team has had in a very, very long time. Like, yeah. Like, there are eight of my best friends. Like, we actually have, like, separation anxiety at this point. Like, we...
we text about it all the
yeah,
time.
Like, we actually, like, need to hang out.
Well, you guys were talking about... well, you were talking about how you, like, are, like, your own little cheer squad.
Yeah, like...
and I love that.
Yeah, like, truly, like, when we don't spend... like, we actually haven't seen each other... granted, Steph and I live together, so we see each other every day. But, like, Reese we haven't seen since, like, Monday, and we're like, oh, my God, Reese, it's been forever. Like, so how sad. Have you been? Like, it's so terrible. But, like... if we, I think the thing is we need to keep this mentality and, like, yeah. togetherness going. And I think that it always can be a little scary when you have, like, a bigger freshman class coming in because,
right.
you know, we're only graduating two. So there's now, like, we need to, like, cultivate them into understanding, like, us as a team, our values, and, like,
yeah.
keeping that high spirits, high momentum, like, going, because that's what we stand for and that's who we are.
That was a beautiful answer.
I don't know how much I can add to that, to be honest.
You hooked with that answer. That was beautiful.
It was yes. from down deep.
Yeah, that was good. I was like, as you were going, I was like nodding my head. I was like, yeah, I'm with you, girl. I'm with you. But I completely relate, because especially with, like, I feel like with you guys, the mental game is so, like, important that having that, like, support system behind you is just going to make or break the team. And I love that. Now we're kind of getting into some more fun questions, yeah. along with some hard-hitting ones, but whatever.
Ooh.
But what is your go-to club and why?
Ooh. Anybody?
Who wants to take it?
I'm going.
Yeah, right. Steph.
Gap wedge. I don't know what it is about my gap wedge, but it's like, you know, anywhere from 85 to 100 yards, you can count on me. I will be on that green.
Yeah.
If I'm not.
Tell them.
If I'm not... I'm dying. You might want to check up on me. Like, if I don't pull my gap wedge out and around, you might want to check to make sure I'm okay. Like, I'm being so
frustrated. She's dying.
Like,
dying.
I'm not with you. Like, Reese?
Yeah, think on
it. I'm really trying to think about this, because,
like, what's the club that you always reach for?
Well, see, that's, like, a different answer, because Well, that one depends more on the, like, on the situation.
Of course.
Steph said 85 to 100 yards, she's got that club. I'm very much, like, if I hit a 40-yard shot, I have one club. But if I hit a 45-yard shot, it's a completely different club, which really make sense. But that's just, like, how I like my swing. The one club that I pretty much depend on every time to get me out of trouble is my 6-iron.
good one.
I'm in the trees a lot, I gotta say.
Self-awareness is the first step.
Yeah, self-awareness nature, is the first step. We are one with nature.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yes.
Always one with nature.
Yeah. You're feeling it.
So that one, I can hit in between a 10-foot wide gap underneath a tree that's, like, my height. And I'm like, that should not happen. But
it's my 6-iron, so, like, I have confidence.
Yeah.
But you know what? It gets you out of the rut, literally. Yes.
It's you out of the pickle.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bella, you got it.
Probably my 5-wood, to be honest. It's an interesting choice, but I don't really ever hit it poorly. Like, it's just like a club that, like,
it'll go.
Yeah,
she's there
it out.
For you.
Yeah, like, she is there for me. And if the
I feel
five
like golf
not,
clubs are women.
Yeah, yeah. No, they are.
Because they're totally there for you.
Yeah,
they are.
And if it's
and
not
they're
going
strong.
Right, if it's not going right, yes. then we're having a bad day if the 5-wood's not working. So, you know.
And that's okay. She can have a bad day, but she is there.
Yeah, she's
resilient.
There for me.
Yeah. I remember when I played golf for like the first time, I think I used a 6-iron.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's a trusty
one. It's a great club.
Yeah, if I'm remembering correctly. It was like this event thing that like this little old couple like suggest like wanted me to be in their little group.
Oh, that's cute.
I was like, oh, guys, stop. So now for more for like the hard-hitting question.
Dun, dun, dun.
What is a misconception about women in golf?
That's
a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good one. Great. Give me a sec.
I'll start us off.
Absolutely, Reese. Take it.
Okay. As we've said, this is a very much a male-dominated sport, and a lot of times, I'll say people are surprised when they figure out you can hit the ball far.
Mm. Yes. That's a good one.
It's a big one.
Like, yeah, sorry, I can outdrive you. My bad. So I think that is definitely a part. Like, they just expect you to be worse just because you're a woman, or they don't expect you to, almost like Steph said, like, not want to bet on yourself.
Yeah.
And I also think there is a social media culture that comes into it, because a lot of women golfers on social media have a very particular look and style, and it ends up being that when men see that on social media, then they kind of expect that from you in person.
Yeah.
And when you're a dedicated golfer, that's not what you act like at all.
Yeah.
And you really care about your sport, and I think a lot of times it's like, oh, you're a woman, like, don't, like, golf isn't your thing. You're just here to, like, be with your boyfriend or something, or like, yeah, just putt on the green.
Yeah. Putt on the green, yeah. Kind of ride around in the, yeah, in the car.
The golf cart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have to agree with Reese. That's a big misconception. I was also a caddy over the summer, and so I think one of the things that I can really pick out is every time I would get put with a group, they would just automatically think I wouldn't be good at caddying because I'm a woman. And then when they find to come out, like, they learn, oh my God, you're a D1 golfer, read my putts, let me know what to do. But if they didn't know that beforehand, they would just kind of look at me and be like, you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
But until, like, I built that basis at that course, when people started to know, oh, no, that girl caddy, she's really good.
She knows what she's talking about.
Yeah, when I didn't build that base, though, people were like,
yeah,
you don't know what you're doing. Like, they wouldn't let me read their putts, and then they, like, I would read their putt, and they would, you know, hit it the other way, because they're like, that's not how it's going to go. I'm like,
okay,
go for it.
And then take it or leave it. Yeah. Sorry that you don't trust me.
Right. And then they saw, like, I was right, and they're like, oh, that's funny. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it's just, like, there's a stereotype for sure.
Well, we're here to get the record straight.
Obviously.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. But I just, like, really love, like, the fact that, like, Lehigh has, like, such an empowered golf team, and, like, it's just really cool to see, because, I mean, working at this club, like, you see it. That environment can act a certain way towards women. And I think that just, like, really caring about your sport and the way that you guys even spoke about it, and the way that you guys, like, are so, I, like, don't even know how to describe it. It's just really cool to see how, like, you guys are so, like, dedicated and just so strong about it, and I love it.
Thank you.
And so what, now back to the fun questions, you know, have to, like, balance it out, but what is in your bag that would surprise people?
I have a whole medicine cabinet.
Oh, of course.
Full, like, Advil, Aleve, Tylenol, like, everything you can think. Oh, you're hurt? Don't worry, I got you. Like, everything is in my bag. Sunscreen, bug spray. It's a medicine cabinet.
So you're a mom, basically.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I have a fidget cube.
Yes! Bring them back.
It's, like, it's a really intense one. Like, it has, like, 8 sides.
Okay.
To it. It's like a fist. Like, it's the size of a fist. It's huge.
Okay. Because you need to switch it up.
Well, yeah. I was actually instructed by many people I needed to get it. So I don't really use it that often, but it's like, but other people use it. So yeah, it's like enjoyment for everyone.
And when you need it, it's there.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Reese.
Once again, I was really trying to think about this one. My bag is always super heavy. I don't know why. I don't have that much stuff in it.
It's the Spider-Man
bag is ash.
Spider-Man notebook.
That's what I was gonna go with. Yeah, I have so my notebook that I, like, write all my little things down when we're in a practice round, or just, like, little notes and stuff.
It is a Spider-Man notebook.
Yes.
It was my brother's when he was in like third grade, I think. Oh, I then stole it and then I kept it with me. Never ended up using it.
I would have lost that years ago.
Yeah, that's dedication to the Spider-Man notebook.
Yes, it's getting quite full at this point. But it's
will you get another one to replace it when it's done? I think you should for the meme of it.
I probably should.
You should.
You just gotta hope you start going to like the same tournament.
It's awesome because like the front, it like pops out a little bit, like it's 3D. It's really cool, guys.
The Spider-Man notebook is just like, it's crazy, guys.
Yeah, they don't make them like that anymore.
I was gonna say the lore behind the Spider-Man notebook.
The lore. Oh my goodness. And so, Kai, you were saying that you have these like 10-hour days. How do you stay entertained, focused? Like, what is that balance like?
I'll start us off. Honestly, you get bored after a while, and you start learning some crazy stuff from the other teams.
It's a major gossip session.
It's a major like the whole time you're like, all right, what's going on with your team? Give me the tea.
Lore drops. Yes. Like the amount of stuff we know about other teams, like, is
crazy.
Truly crazy.
We shouldn't know that.
No, yeah. And then we all discuss after.
Yeah, we get back in the van.
Yeah, and then we kind of like, what did your
put it all together?
Say? Yeah.
I love women. This is like unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect it. Like, it's a safe space on the course, you know.
Yeah.
There's also always the question of either, how close are you with your team? And no one understands how close we are.
Genuinely no one gets it.
No, they're like, oh, we're close. No.
No.
Not like us.
Or it's, are you close with your men's team?
Yes.
That's a huge one.
Yeah. Like, we were all discussing it. Like, because obviously our Patriots, we only have 5 schools in ours right now.
Yeah.
So it's like, we see them. Like, when we see them, I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. And I remember the guys, like, showed up on Sunday, and the one girl I was playing with was like, wow, like, is that your men's team? I was like, yeah, it's, like, a few of them. And they're like, she was like, oh, God, like, never, like, our men's team could never. And I was like, oh, well, that's awkward. And then that starts, like, the gossip session.
For the listeners, my mouth is dropped.
Yeah.
I wish there were lore drops in rowing, but you can't because you're in a different boat.
Yeah. Screaming across the water.
Hey, so what's going on over there?
Yeah, that's
that's crazy. Yeah.
We also like truly entertain each other
around
the golf course. Mm-hmm. Like there is if we see one another and like we haven't seen each other like throughout the whole round,
you're
screaming
yelling
across the fairway.
Shout out Alana.
Yeah, shout out Alana. It was at Patriots. I was walking on the fairway. I was like so zoned out. I was like zoned in because I was like, I did not hit a great shot. And I hear someone screaming across the fairway, what's up, good looking? I jumped. Like, I was so startled. And she was like, ha, 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 like laughing on the other side.
Bella thought she got catcalled on the course. What occurred?
It didn't sound like her. So I was like, who is yelling at me right now?
That's amazing. And I love that. No, that's just amazing. And so you guys are close with the men's team.
Yeah.
That's how rowing is. And a lot of teams don't relate to that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying even like other schools, but like we practice with our men's team. We do everything with our men's team. Like last year there was a girl that lived with some of the guys on the men's team. Like they're there all the time. So we're at our last question, but this has been so amazing and so fun. But what is a fun fact about you?
Oh, God.
I know.
I'll start.
Steph,
everybody thinks that I have a farm going on at my house because...
Goodness gracious.
So I started out with 2 golden retrievers, my dogs.
I have a golden retriever.
Best dog ever.
What are their names?
Boomer and Ginger.
Oh, my God.
My dad had a golden retriever, or like I think it was a version of a golden retriever. Mm-hmm. Named Ginger, and my golden retriever is named Sadie.
Oh, I love. Oh, yeah. One's love a Sadie. Red golden, one's a cream golden.
He had a red golden.
Yep.
Yes.
Love. So start out with that. Then I got a leopard gecko in high school.
Said it
was the teacher's pet. The teacher didn't want it anymore. I ended up with it. Not the real story. I bought it. Whatever.
Good.
But now we also have guinea pigs. Me and Madison on the team have guinea pigs, and I'll be having them next year. So fun fact is I basically have a farm going on at my house.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Good.
It's been great.
This is fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't really know if I can top that, to be honest.
Yeah, so why'd little, you start?
Like, yeah, like, I'm a little...
So, Steph has a farm, and what do you have?
Yeah. Nothing.
She has an aquarium.
All right, fun fact, Reese.
Yeah, fun fact, Reese.
Okay. Well, I did have a fish. Named it Zally, after Will Zalatoris, but that's not a fun fact. He's a golfer.
Yes.
He ended up making a hole-in-one on the day that I got it, so that makes sense.
So that does make sense. Yeah. It's like a rite of passage.
Yeah. Reese is vegan.
That's I am a fun vegan.
Fact. That is a that fun is fact.
True. Yeah. I'm vegan. I am a vegan who listens to heavy metal and watches WWE. So there you go.
Yeah, that's WrestleMania.
An amazing fun fact. Because those definitely make sense together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Totally.
Like, that's what I think of.
Yeah, I think of, I think of wrestling... Vegan is and heavy metal when I think of Reese.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah, especially.
Oh my gosh. Know,
my meditation, yoga.
It all makes sense.
Yeah. All comes together.
It does. It really like forms like a unity.
Yeah.
Steph, Reese, and Bella, thanks again for joining me here on today's episode. I look forward to talking to you again soon. And be sure to like Lehigh Athletics on Facebook and follow Lehigh Sports on Instagram and X to stay up to date with all of your news on the Mountain Hawks.
Thank you.